You are listening to the weekly podcast of Renovate Life Church of God in MacArthur, Ohio. We pray you enjoy today's message.
Do you believe he's here today? No, I mean, do we believe he's here today? You know, we've sung about the things that he can do for us and who he is and what he's done and what kind of a mighty God that he is, a mighty Savior that he is. And, you know, I think about all the people in the Bible who came in contact with Jesus physically, that was physically in his presence. And I think about all those people, and then whenever we come into the house of God, sometimes we don't realize, you know, we think that, well, we come to church and we're going to sing a few songs and we're going to hear the preaching and we're going to worship, but sometimes we don't realize that he's here. Savior, the one who died upon Calvary for you and I, is here this morning. We don't get that. We don't realize that, because if we realized that, then we wouldn't ever leave here the same way that we came in. We would always be changed every time that we came to the house of God, because Jesus is here in our midst. Jesus is walking up and down the aisles. Jesus is the one reaching out and touching each and every individual. You know, we can't do anything without him. We are nothing without him. There is no point in having church without him. So I'm excited this morning that Jesus is here, that Jesus has visited us in this church house this morning. But you know, it's Jesus already has done his part. He came. He's here. He's already taken the stripes upon his back. He's already died upon a cross. He has already paid the price for our sins. He has already taken away the sickness. He's done his part. And we came into the house this morning and we have worshiped him and we have lifted him up. But now it is up to us whether or not we leave here the same way that we came in. It's up to us whether or not we are healed. It's up to us whether or not we're saved this morning. It's up to us if we one day make heaven our home. Because can I tell you that Jesus is coming back? If you haven't turned on the news here lately, you might want to do that. I'm not a proponent of spending all my time watching the news and hearing all the bad things that are on the news, but you might want to look and see what's happening, because Jesus is coming back. He's coming back real soon. And we've said that for years and years and years. I've been preaching for 30 years, 35 years, and I've preached that. I've said that. I've preached on the coming of the Lord, but never has it been like it is right now. And can I tell you a little secret about this war going on with Israel? I'll tell you a little secret about that the world doesn't know. They're going to win. They're going to win because there's one that's going to help them win. And it might not be this particular battle, but they're ultimately, we know that they're going to win the war, because there's one coming back on a white horse that is going to take care of everything. If you realize this morning that Jesus is here, if you realize that he's here, I don't want you to leave here this morning the same way that you came in. Can we pray this morning that the Lord would just have his way in this service, that he would touch? Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your presence that we feel here, Lord, in such a strong way. We thank you, Lord, for each and every individual that has come into this house, Lord, to worship you, to lift up your holy name. I ask, Lord, that you would continue to walk up and down these aisles this morning, and that you would touch hearts and touch lives, and you would change situations. Help us, Lord, to give you the praise and the honor and the glory for everything that is accomplished here this morning, because it's all about you. It's all about you. In Jesus' precious name. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Mark, if you would. I'm using the King James Version if anybody's interested, but just kind of always been my favorite go-to Bible. Mark chapter number 5. I'm going to read quite a bit of this. I'm going to read verses 25 through 34, and then I'm going to turn over to the book of Mark chapter 2. But we'll start with Mark 5, 25. It says, "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.' And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And his disciples said unto him, 'Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?' And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of that plague.'" Verse 27, I'm going to reread, says, "When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment." Chapter 2, Mark chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, says, "And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, 'Son, thy sins be forgiven thee.'" So if the Lord would help me just a little bit, I want to preach on overcoming the press. Overcoming the press. we saw, and I read verse number 27 again, and also we see in verse number 4 says, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press. The press, we know, represented it was the multitude. It was the crowd of people. But I think that it's much more than just that crowd of people that is represented there in with that little word, the press. Because this woman was afflicted, the Bible says, for 12 years. And she had, you know, done everything that she knew to do to get over her affliction. She spent all of her money, all of her resources. She'd visited all the doctors and physicians and tried every cure and remedy that you could imagine to get over her illness. And she continually grew weaker and weaker and discouraged. And you know how it is when you're afflicted, when you're sick, and you just don't feel good. In fact, I have a daughter this morning that last night got sick, and my wife and daughter couldn't be here this morning. But when you get sick, and if it's a long affliction, sometimes you just get weaker and weaker, and you get discouraged. I remember when I had COVID, and you know, many people had COVID, but when I had COVID, I remember that I was probably the weakest that I had ever been, and I would say the sickest that I had ever been. It was no joke. Let's say it's a true illness that it kind of leaves you in a place of discouragement, because I was so sick that I couldn't walk across the room. My legs would shake when I would start to walk across the room. I couldn't eat anything. I had all of the symptoms that there were, and it's just one of those sicknesses that you just don't want to see anybody. You don't want to do anything. You just want to go to sleep and hope you get better. But that's similar to what I think that she was feeling, except much more exaggerated than that, because she had dealt with this for 12 long years. But one day she heard of a man named Jesus and all the things that he had gone about doing and helping people and touching people, and she realized that Jesus was her opportunity. Jesus was her hope for healing, because there was no hope. There was no hope in the doctors. There was no hope in medicine that she was taking. So she had heard about Jesus and the miracles that he could perform. And the Bible says here again in verse number 27 that when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind him. She saw him as he passed by. And she knew that because he was her only opportunity, that she had to get to Jesus. You know, just like, and I mentioned this before I started preaching, about how do we believe that Jesus is in this place today. And if we really believe that Jesus was in this place today, I made the statement that said we would never leave this place the same way that we came. And I wonder sometimes if the reason why we leave the church house the same way that we came in is because of the press. Because whenever we come in to church, we have this affliction, or we have a depression, or we have something that is getting us down, or maybe we need to be saved, or maybe we need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. And there is something that is holding us back. Whenever we come into the church house, knowing that Jesus is here, just as this woman saw Jesus passing by, Jesus has passed by, Brother Jared, this place today. Jesus is here today. But what is it that has caused us not to get what we need from the Lord time after time after time that we have come to the house of God and we have left the same way that we came. Why is that? Why do we do that? It's because of the press. It's because there is something that is hindering us. Maybe it is our pride. Maybe we've grown so proud of the thing that who we are that we're too prideful to go down to the altar and kneel at the altar and call on Almighty God because somebody might think ill of us. Somebody might think that we're something different than we are. What is it that is holding us back? What is it that is keeping us from getting what we need from the Lord this morning? It's the press. It's the press. It's the multitude. It's the crowd of people. Oh, I just don't like being around a lot of people. I don't like going down in front of a lot of people. I don't like raising my hands in church. I'm afraid somebody's looking at me. I don't like testifying. The Bible says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. It's important that we tell about what Jesus has done for us. It's important that we share to other people what the Lord has done for us and has brought us through. The press many times keeps us pushed down. Maybe we have that sickness in our body and we just don't have the strength to go down to the altar. Maybe we just don't have that strength to get up. But the Bible says that this woman who had this issue of blood, she came in the press behind him. And the Bible says that she touched the hem of his garment, which means that she was on the ground, making her way, crawling to this man named Jesus, trying to get help because she knew that he was the answer. Just as we know today, this morning, that he is the only answer for us. And she crawled and made her way up to Jesus. Even though there were people pushing against her, even though there was a crowd and a multitude, so much that Jesus did not even know who it was that touched her, and asked his disciples, "Who was it? Who was it that reached out and touched me?" And as she made her way to Jesus, just as we must do this morning, she made her way through the press and got to Jesus. And the Bible says that she reached out and touched the hem of his garment and was made whole. What is the press for us? Maybe it's something that seems impossible. Maybe it's an affliction, a sickness, a financial issue, something that you have in your life that is overwhelming. Something that seems impossible for us to overcome. Maybe it's the people around you. Have you ever had people that are around you that just had so much doubt that everything that they said was just down and just discouraging, and oh, you're never gonna make it through this. This is one of those that's just gonna take you out. You know, just doesn't that just irritate you sometimes when you have people that never have anything positive to say and everything is just oh so full of doubt and discouragement? That's your press. You need to overcome that and you need to get rid of that doubt in your life. Maybe it's your fear. Maybe you're afraid. You know, fear is one of those things that can take a person down. And I think one time that I was here on a Sunday night, I think I even preached on fear. And and how that fear can overcome you if you allow it to. Maybe you enjoy your affliction. You know, there are some people that do enjoy being where they are at, even though it seems strange that they would, but sometimes people are fine with where they are and even enjoy it, because then they can tell others about how bad off that they are, and they can get people to feel sorry for them. That is your press. That is your press, church. You need to overcome that press and realize that Jesus does not want us to be sick and afflicted. Jesus does not want us to be discouraged and full of fear. Jesus wants us to be standing high upon a mountain and singing a new song unto Him. Jesus does not want us to be discouraged. He wants us to realize that we are on our way to heaven. He wants us to realize that every step that we take are ordered by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He wants us to stand up high and tell the world that Jesus is the only way. He is the truth. He is the life. He's the only way to heaven. But if we are discouraged and we allow the press to hold us back, then we will never get where we need to be. We will never get to where God wants us to be in life because of the press, because it's holding you back. It is keeping you from making it to the finish line, wherever that may be. It is keeping you from answering the call of God upon your life. It is keeping you from worshiping the Lord. It is keeping you from getting your heart and your life exactly where God wants it to be. It's the press. It's holding us back. Overcoming the press is what we're talking about. You know, the first thing that you need to realize is your need. You can't overcome the press if you don't realize that you need to overcome the press. If you don't realize that you have a need in your life that you need help with, you can't overcome it. You have to first recognize it. She realized that she had an overwhelming need. Just like the man that was sick on the bed and they lowered him down through the roof. They tore the roof off of this building. How many of us... If we couldn't get into to the church to reach out to Jesus, to pray, to get help from the Lord, how many of us would move heaven and earth out of our way in order to reach heaven? Would we do it? Would we do what this man did as they tore the roof off and they lowered him down in the midst of the press? That's why they couldn't get in. But, you know, they didn't let him continue to suffer. They didn't let this man stay sick, even though as they came up to the door to get in, they were looking over all the people and realizing that, hey, Jesus is in the middle of this house. How are we going to get there? I don't know. I don't know how we can get there. There's too many people. And they probably tried pushing people out of the way and saying, excuse me, can we get through? That's what we do sometimes. We're polite. Nothing wrong with being polite. But when you need a touch from the Lord, when you need to be saved, when you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, you need to get through the press. You need to get those things that are in your heart, those things that are in your life, You need to get those moved out of the way. Get them pushed out of the way. Because if you don't make it inside, if you don't get inside the house where Jesus is, then you have no hope at all of being helped. You got to get to Jesus. That's the first thing that we have to do as Christians. If we need something from the Lord this morning, and I believe that there are people under the sound of my voice that need a touch from God this morning. But if we don't get to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, then we will not be helped. And they saw Jesus in there. Oh, I don't know how we can get in there. Can you imagine? Some of them probably said, you know, maybe we come back later. Maybe if we come back later, it'll be okay. We'll be able to get in. Maybe the crowd will thin out a little bit. You know, it used to be like that for Black Friday. I don't know how many went Black Friday shopping, but, you know, I liked it for a while, and then those crowds, they were just horrible. You know, you get up to the door, and the line is, you know, several hundred people long, and you're thinking, is there going to be anything left by the time I even get in there? But you know what? If I turned around, and I left, and I went to the next store instead of standing in the line, I wouldn't get anything. I would leave empty-handed. And it's just like if you need something from the Lord, we can say, oh, I got this thing that's bothering me. I got too much fear. I got too much pride. I got too much discouragement. I'm just sad. I don't feel like that I could go up. I don't feel like anybody can help me. Woe is me. If you feel like that, and you give up and turn around, then you won't get anything that is on the inside. And so instead of pushing through the crowd, they started looking around. Well, you know, we could come back later, but he may already be gone. We could maybe figure out another way in, but I don't see another door. How are we going to get in? And one of them, I can just imagine speaking up and saying, you know, we could get up to the roof. It looks pretty low over here. I bet we could get up on that roof. And the roof looks pretty weak. I bet if we get up there, we could drop him down, lower him down. Has somebody got a rope that we can lower him down? Somebody goes and gets a rope. They climb up to the roof, and they start tearing the roof off. And I don't know about you, but I can just imagine the people who are inside that building. And even Jesus looking up and seeing that roof being torn off, wondering, well, we know Jesus wasn't wondering, but everybody else was wondering, what in the world is going on in this place? And about that time, this man who was sick with the palsy, he was lowered down on a bed, down into the midst of Jesus on a rope, where we know that Jesus touched him. But what if he wouldn't have overcome the press? That man would have still been in that bed until he died. He would have never got help. And that's us, church. Do we need help? Do we need help from the Lord? I believe we do. I know what this world looks like now. Everyone under the sound of my voice needs help from the Lord this morning. There is no doubt about it. And I already told you that Jesus is here in this place. And guess what? You agreed with me. You all said amen. You lifted up your hands. Now there is no excuse for not getting what we need from God this morning. Because yes, there is a press. Yes, there is something that is holding you back. Otherwise, you would not still have the same need that you had
three or four months ago, you would come into this house and you would cry out to an almighty God for help. But you got to push past that press. You got to take that pride off and you got to lay it down. Say, I'm not proud. I need help. I'm not prideful. I need help from the Lord touching my body. I need to be filled with the sweet Holy Ghost because without the Holy Ghost, I don't want to take another step. I don't want to walk another mile without the Holy Ghost in my life. But you got to put that pride off. You know, whenever I was filled with the Holy Ghost, I prayed. I went down during a youth revival. I was pretty young. Went down and started praying. The pastor would come over and he'd lift up my hands, you know, say, you need to worship the Lord. You need to, you know, listen to the Lord. Then the evangelist came over, the one that, who had been preaching the message. And he preached on the Holy Ghost, and he came over, and he whispered in my ear, and he said, obey the Lord. Obey the Lord. I was one of these young people that, you know, I would just stand at the back of the crowd. You know, I enjoyed being in the youth group, but I didn't have to be the one up front. I would rather be in the back. I'd rather be back and not and let everybody else be up front. So obeying the Lord in the service was maybe a little bit difficult for me because I was bashful. I was shy. And he said, obey the Lord. And about that time, the Lord said, stomp your feet. Way outside my wheelhouse. Way, 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 way outside. And I was thinking to myself, was that the Lord? Was that really the Lord? That's what we do. The Lord speaks to us and says, go down to that altar. Was that the Lord? Was that him? Can I tell you, the devil is not going to tell you to come down to the altar. Amen? He will never tell you to pray. So if you feel like you need to come to the altar, it's the other one. Amen? So here I am standing. He said, the Lord said, stomp your feet. I wasn't getting anywhere. So finally I said, pride, put that over there. Bashfulness, put that over there. You know why? Because I wanted the Holy Ghost. Because I wanted help from the Lord. I wanted what I needed. And so I started stomping my feet. And can I tell you that it wasn't 10 stomps before I was speaking in another tongue. And I was all over that church, walking around, stomping my feet, praying. And I don't know, even remember half of the service after that. But that's what the Lord will do for us, church. We have to overcome the press. But we got to realize what our need is. And I'm hurrying here this morning. We got to realize what our need is. I want to read real quick in 2 Kings chapter 4, starting at verse number 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets of Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in thy house save a pot of oil.
Then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad and of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Then he said, borrow not a few. That's important. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And then it says, and the oil stayed. And the oil stayed. And then we can go on and read where she lived on that oil. But you know, as I was reading this, I started to think, you know, there are things that hold us back. Sometimes it's our faith. Sometimes it's not realizing how big that our need really is. Because, yes, she needed to pay her creditors, but she also needed to live. And her husband now was gone. So why would she not want to make as much money as possible off of this oil? Has that ever crossed anybody's mind but mine? Sometimes I think strange whenever I'm reading things, but maybe that's never crossed anybody else's mind. Because he says, borrow not a few. He didn't say go out and borrow five vessels. Medium size. This is about how much power our God has. So just get about five or six vessels, and that should cover it. He told her to go out and borrow not a few. Not a few to me means a bunch, or as many as you can get. She gathered them all up and came into the house, started pouring out the oil. And I just have to wonder to myself if she didn't realize, after she started pouring this oil and realized that it wasn't going down out of the pot. The oil was staying in the pot where it was. And I have to wonder in my mind if maybe she didn't realize, oh, maybe we should have borrowed a few more. Maybe that wasn't quite enough, but because of my faith, because I didn't believe that the Lord really could do what the prophet was saying, I didn't borrow more vessels. But that's what we need to do, church. Whenever he says, go out and get some vessels, we need to go out and get some vessels. Whenever he says, I'm going to touch you, we need to realize in our hearts that he is about to do something fantastic in our lives. He is about to take us from here all the way over here. And he's going to change everything about our hearts. Everything in our lives. There is nothing that is too difficult for the Lord. And whenever we start realizing that, church, whenever we realize that the only thing that is holding us back is the press, the only thing that is holding us back is our own faith and what we believe. If we would just cry out to God and realize that he can do all things, anything that we have need of, he is able to do that this morning. He is able. He is able. Has anybody ever had a friend that has come over and visited at a bad time? You know, just come over and knock on your door at the most inopportune time, and you're busy doing something, and you just really don't have time to entertain right now? Well, the Bible tells us about a man that was in that predicament. Jesus said that the man had a friend who came and visited him. And when he came and visited, it was at midnight. I don't know if anybody's going to show up at my house at midnight, but maybe. But he came to his house at midnight, and the man had nothing to feed his friend. no food in his house. That was probably the worst time that he could come, because he hadn't been to the grocery store in days. And so he came, didn't have anything to feed him, and he thought, you know what, I will go next door, and I'm going to see if my neighbor will loan me something. Remember, this is midnight. This is the middle of the night. So he goes to over next door to his neighbor's house, and he knocks on the door, and the man yells out, doesn't even open the door, "Go away. It's the middle of the night. What are you doing here? It's the middle of the night. Come back tomorrow." This guy had a need. He needed to feed this guy that came, this friend of his that came. He needed to be able to feed him. So he's knocking on the door again. "My daughters are in bed asleep. My family's all asleep. Please come back tomorrow." Yeah, have you ever known anybody like that? Just never gives up. Never gives up. I'm hoping that we'll get that tonight. We never give up. The man comes to the door, and the Bible says that he didn't open the door because he was his friend. That's not why he did it. He didn't open the door because he was his friend. He opened the door because he kept knocking. The Bible says because of his importunity or his persistence. That's why he opened the door. Here we come, church, and I'm getting ready to close. We come into the house of the Lord with our need. The press is all around us. The press is keeping us from touching the hem of his garments. The press is keeping us from Jesus. And we knock one time. He didn't fix it. He didn't take care of it. I guess I'll go back home and come back next Sunday and try again. You come back next Sunday. Next Sunday is today. And you knock again because you have the same need. The need doesn't just go away. There are some things that just don't go away by themselves. That's why Jesus took the stripes upon his back for our healing. That's why he died upon a cross for us. That's why he sent another comforter. Jesus wants to help his people. That's why he's here today. Amen. That's why he's here in our midst today, is because he comes to help. Yes, we worship him. The Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his people. We praise the Lord. We still praise the Lord. We are so excited that the Lord is here this morning. But do we really realize that he's here? Because we're already in the house. But there is something, and only you know what your heart is, what is in your heart that is holding you back. Only you know if it's pride. Only you know if it is fear. Only you know if there is maybe bashfulness. Whatever it is that keeps you from reaching out to the Lord whenever we come and call upon the name of the Lord, what is it that is holding you back? It's the press, people. It's the press. The press is keeping us. Tonight, this morning, we need to push through. We need to push through. We need to tear the roof off. Whatever it is that is holding you back today, I want you to realize that Jesus is here. We've already established that he is in our midst. But what is holding you back today? It's the press. It's the press. It's the crowd's too big. Too many people here. Somebody's going to see me and wonder why I'm going down and praying. Who cares? Who cares why you're coming down and praying as long as you come down and pray? Nobody here, everybody here wants you to get what you need from the Lord. And if they don't, they need to be down here too. Amen? Stand with me if you would this morning. That brother Jared is coming back to the piano. But I want us to realize that Jesus is in this place, walking up and down this front, walking up and down the aisles. All he is waiting on you to do is to push past the press. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Oh, Jesus, we thank you, Lord.
You for joining us. Please like our podcast and leave us a 5-star review. God bless and have an amazing week.